This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is The Morning Run, and thanks for joining us. You're with Julian Ng, Lin Mark, as well as Sharis Abdullah. Elizabeth Warren, this is a name that you got to take note of, along with Bernie Sanders, because they are Democratic presidential candidates who would be at the forefront of challenging Donald Trump in the U.S. election in 2020. And Elizabeth Warren said something very shocking for the tech sector, because she's proposing to break up the tech companies, including Amazon, Alphabet's Google, as well as Facebook's. She calls them anti-competitive behemoths that are crowding out competition.
Yes, she's also calling for legislation that would designate the companies as platform utilities, where the appointment of regulators who would unwind technology mergers that undermine competition and harm innovation, and also small businesses. So Warren is proposing some mergers to be unwind, including Amazon's purchase of the Whole Foods and Zappos, Facebook acquisition of WhatsApp and Instagram, and also Google's deal for Waze, Nest, and also DoubleClick.
So under her proposal, these so-called designated platform utilities with more than $25 billion in global revenue will be prohibited from owning any of the participants on their own platform. So Warren's main points are that big tech companies have too much power over the U.S. economy, over their society, as well as their democracy. She has said that they've bulldozed competition, they've used private information for profit, and they have tilted the playing field against everyone else. And in the process, of course, hurt small businesses and stifled innovation. So Warren is contending that the U.S. antitrust case against Microsoft Corp, which began in the 1990s, opened a pathway that allowed Google to emerge.
Yeah, so I think there is some truth in what she's saying, because if you look at the social media market today, it's basically a winners-take-all market, you know, effectively, even though they don't own 100%. But a company like Google would own two-thirds of the world's search market share in either the United States, maybe less in the world. And Facebook dominates social media because Facebook owns Instagram and Facebook owns WhatsApp as well. So are there any other alternatives for social media? I don't think so, right? I don't think a name would pop up when you think about social media joining another brand.
That's right. And I think the consolidation of all these companies as well also warrants that concern about data and how much data that they are, how much data they own, and what is it that they use the data for. And again, that is also an ongoing discussion with regards to this companies joining together as one big unit, really.
Yeah, behemoth, one large entity.
Is the word,
right,
that's being used by Warren?
Yeah, I think the data thing is quite a worrying trend, especially now because we're seeing more of stories like, oh, Amazon knew this woman was pregnant long before she herself knew it. And Google, with Google, they own Waze, they own Nest, they own DoubleClick. It's just too much. It's too much all in one place.
Concentration.
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen the breakups before. The telcos a long time ago, they broke up into the so-called baby bells, which resulted in AT&T and so on. I'm sure these tech companies would come up with very strong reasonings to counter such statements. For example, the accusation about innovation, the question is whether Facebook, companies like Facebook, Instagram, and Google and so on, Google has been, of course, at the forefront of innovation, coming up with a lot of great ideas, right? So whether that can be used by Google to stop this kind of thinking and concept going into the elections as well.
Hasn't actually Google just, wasn't Google fined recently by the EU for anti-competitive behavior? I guess
that's really about price manipulation. But then the question about innovation, right? It'd be interesting to see how these tech companies would argue that, because, hey, tech is sort of the byword for innovation. Now, speaking of breakups, Theresa May continued the fight for her Brexit deal over the weekend and her premiership. However, with less than 48 hours before the House of Commons vote on the deal, things aren't looking good. She was unable to announce any progress in the talks with the EU.
So one Downing Street insider said that the week ahead looked choppy as Parliament is likely to vote to extend Article 50 and also to rule out a no-deal Brexit if MPs do not approve May's withdrawal agreement with the EU. Now, two former cabinet ministers, Nicky Morgan and also Dominic Raab, suggested that her premiership would be in trouble if in that scenario, with speculation that Eurosceptics will try to force it out.
Yeah, so May is going to need votes in the week ahead from about 100 Tory and Democratic Unionist Party Eurosceptics who want an assurance that the UK will not indefinitely be bound by the Irish backstop as well as a permanent customs union with the EU. So the Irish backstop is, of course, a key issue in the deal and is gaining even more traction as we get closer to the Brexit deadline later this month.
So why Ireland is so complex is that it will remain part of the EU. It, however, shares a border with the UK's Northern Ireland, which will not be part of the EU if the deal goes through. 21 years after the so-called Good Friday Agreement, this creates a particularly complicated border situation for the two countries. So to get a better understanding of the Irish border issue, we spoke to Dr. Paul Gillespie, former editor of the Irish Times and adjunct senior research fellow at the University College of Dublin School of Politics and International Relations. We asked him what Brexit means for Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland.
These are two states. The Republic of Ireland is an independent state. Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom. It's been like that for nearly 100 years. But relations between the two parts of Ireland have become much closer in the last 20 years as a result of a peace agreement following a period of violent political conflict about Northern Ireland. And that in those 20 years, relations have built up much more strongly between North and South, including economically. And in both cases, we have a closer relationship with the United Kingdom as a whole, that is between Ireland as a whole and Britain, the island of Britain, both politically and socially, culturally, but also economically. The problem with Brexit is that it breaks one of the conditions for these closer relationships, which is the joint membership of the European Union. And because the European Union is such a powerful economic entity over the last number of decades, controlling trade, controlling regulation in the single market, controlling customs tariffs with the external world, as a huge amount of economic activity is affected by this decision. And it's much more complex than many people in Britain and the political leaderships in the United Kingdom realised. And one of the fallout of this is what we're trying to manage now. And a great deal depends on the way in which Britain actually leaves the European Union.
One of the main issues that Ireland and the UK faces in this Brexit debacle is that the issue of the Irish border. Now, many have noted that a physical border between the two states will invite violent confrontations by the Irish people. So we asked him to explain the ramification of imposing a physical Irish border.
During the period of what we call the Troubles, the violent conflict, it was a kind of guerrilla war against British troops and physical manifestations of that in Northern Ireland by people who wanted to have unity with the Republic. And this was a minority war, but it was fought very viciously. And the border became not only a symbol, but actually a physical manifestation of the conflict. Border posts were put up on many of the main roads. The main roads are one thing, but there are something like 350 different ways of crossing this border. So it's really very difficult to police. And so all the people who live north and south of that border, the communities living there, were very, very much affected. Now, so this has deep memories for these people. And any physical manifestation of a border required by new customs or regulatory arrangements would become simply targets for people who want to keep the border open. On the one hand, that's the great majority, but also for a small minority of political activists and Republican activists who would actually welcome the creation of new targets, the vehicle attack.
And that was Dr. Paul Gillespie, former editor of the Irish Times, as well as adjunct senior research fellow at the University College Dublin School of Politics and International Relations, talking to us about the complications of Brexit for Northern Ireland. We'll be coming back with Petronas after this, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.